It took her only two sentences for the angel to deliver the good news, and the shepherds went with haste, finding God in the flesh with their own eyes, and then told others this good news of great joy for all the people. It changed lives forever. They were ready for something new, and they were hungry for change. Well, most of you know me well enough to know that I can hardly say anything in less than two sentences besides my name and my address, right? But I do hope to share with you a similar message that the angel delivered to the ordinary shepherds in the field performing ordinary tasks. And the blessings delivered by ordinary elderly folk like Simeon and Anna in the temple to an ordinary family with an ordinary child, like Simeon and Anna recognized, who were doing the ordinary rituals, and all who experienced these ordinary things were changed forever. But first, let me ask, before we go rushing into this next new year, how has the season of Advent awakened you, alerted you, made you more aware of Christ's presence with us and in us? Are you more conscious of Christ's kingdom emerging around us and through us, making us and all things new and wonderful? Well, if you think you might have missed something, let me tell you this good news. We are always in the season of Advent, aren't we? Awaiting renewal and restoration every day, hoping that God will do something new in this world. This year, I was more intentional on letting go of expectations and the demands of life so that I could be more prepared for the coming of the Christ child. I picked up a familiar jingle from a chaplain while the choir and I were attending a memorial service at Settle Wilder. He taught us the jingle, and I changed it just a little bit, and it helped me when I found myself distracted. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire inside's delightful. And as long as God loves me so, let it go, let it go, let it go. I was determined to seek and find Christ present in the rituals of our candle lighting services, sharing Holy Communion with you and with those who are homebound. I found Christ present in personal prayer time and in worship, and in nature. I was able to find Christ in family gatherings and Christmas parties, visiting with those in hospitals and those in hospice care. Those stuck in heavy traffic, I was able to find Christ there too. And I even found Christ in those long lines in the grocery stores and retail stores. Making a conscious determination to find God in all these situations and places brought life to ordinary routines. I was awakened to the something new that Christ had for me. At times, Christ's Spirit alerted me to the old constructs of my thoughts and feelings and behaviors that I needed to let go of, or that just simply needed to die. At other times, God's Spirit made me aware of the marvelous gift of Christ's resurrection. Merry Christmas and Happy Easter. You see, in those times, I found Christ bringing to me once again hope and new life, and reminding me that this hope and new life is for all who suffer or are hurting in our world, and my role as a co-partner with Christ in bringing about that change. If I watched Eating Twinkies with God video once, I must have watched it a dozen times during the Advent season. Joey, I finally named him, intrigued me with his determination and expectant hope in finding God before dinner time. His assuredness and haste reminded me of the story of the shepherds. There's no way of knowing for sure who influenced Joey where he came up with the idea that he could actually find God on his childhood adventure. Yet, it had a familiar ring for me. Is it that much of a stretch of the imagination to believe that an ordinary kid could search for God and find God in ordinary, dark-skinned, poor, elderly woman wrapped in tattered clothing and sitting on a park bench? Sound familiar? Is it crazier still to believe that sharing a snack and a juice and enjoying laughter could restore dignity and joy to an ordinary, poor, elderly woman who, in turn, could testify to another she'd encountered God in the flesh, though younger than she had anticipated? Well, indeed, it is a stretch. It must be a stretch, but it's a healthy stretch for you and for me and for the church. It's for our well-being. God's story of restoration and redemption, as witnessed and told by ordinary people, is just as crazy as it gets. And I'm here to tell you today, it's entwined with your story as well. Don't we have high hopes that it is what it is, that which the Lord said to the shepherds? I'll go out on a limb, as I know many of you will, to testify that God's inclusive, restorative project is indeed working in the world, because I've witnessed God's renewing, redeeming, and reconstructing power, breathing new life into wounded, broken, and twisted messes in your stories and in my story. There isn't anything hidden in our life stories that God isn't in the business of making new. And let us praise God for that. Nor is there any human being I have ever encountered that is beyond God's redeeming embrace. What does Joey's story teach us about the transforming power of unconditional love when human intentionality and divine intervention meet at the crossroads in our lives? It teaches me that there is great hope for us to witness Christ being born anew in all things, in all places, in all circumstances. What would have to change, however? What would we need to let go of so that God might birth in us new wisdom and insight into God's extravagant, relentless, and boundless love? What extraordinary testimonies of God sightings might we hear from others in whom we least expect to find God? What extraordinary story could you tell of Christ made new in you, the new creation you have become, the old that is gone, the new that is here today, and the new that expectantly awaits you in your tomorrows? Do not be afraid, the angel of the Lord said to the shepherds. And I tell you today, although my family could tell you I'm not an angel, listen to this. Do not be afraid. For behold, be alert, be awakened, be attentive. Check this out. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone, including all who by societal or religious standards are considered outsiders or nobodies. To you, you who think of yourselves as undeserving and least expected, is born in you the one who redeems you and makes all things new from the inside out. You belong in the heart of Christ who made you. You are family. You matter. You're redeemed, you're restored, you are forgiven, you are made new, you count in God's kingdom here on earth and the kingdom yet to come. You who have white skin, you who have dark skin, you who are young and you who are old, you who are hungry and you who are full, you who find yourselves rich and you who find yourselves this morning empty. You who are single, you who are married, you who are separated and divorced, you who are widowed, you who are straight, you who are lesbian or gay or transgender, you are a member of the family of God. Please grasp this. Do not be afraid, though the world outside is frightful, for the fire in you is delightful. And as long as God loves you so, let fear go, let shame go, let hate go. It's hard to know for sure what the shepherds felt or experienced when they came face to face with God, their eyes capturing the wonder of the one who gave them a place within the family. Yet we know that while returning to the ordinary job as shepherds, their story of finding God that night amazed everyone. Change occurred. Lives would never be the same. God's unconditional, boundless love initiated that change. And their response to it was of praise and adoration. In our scripture reading today, Luke tells us of two elderly characters who came face to face with God, this time in the temple. An ordinary family brought their baby to the temple to perform the ordinary Jewish rituals of circumcision of Jesus and of the purification of Mary. And in the ordinary, something new and transformational occurred. The good news of God's restoring and redeeming love and grace got bigger and better. It stretched far beyond the once presumed plan of salvation for Israel alone. Simeon, like many of our men here today, lived a godly life according to his ritual tradition. He was tuned in and by the Holy Spirit, like that transistor radio Pastor Peter talks about, readying himself to respond to the spiritual promptings which resulted in a life-changing encounter he had made when he found God that day. Simeon's faithful intentions and the Holy Spirit's intervention awakened Simeon to a new thing God had promised he would see before he died. Simeon, an ordinary man, found the Messiah and drew him into himself, praising God, blessing the family, and then miraculously revealed the role of God in the flesh to restore and make new not just Israel, but all people. This good news would bring deliverance to all who seek to be included in God's family, held captive by sin, death, fear, disease, evil, injustice, oppression, and deeply ingrained half-truths about God's love. Today, O ordinary men of God, don't be afraid to share this wonderful news with those who need to know they're one of God's own flesh. Draw them into yourselves, praise God, and then bless them. Reveal to them God's story of infinite, boundless love and grace. You may be the extraordinary encounter of God someone longs for today. And then there's Anna, a woman not too unlike a number of our women among us today, going about her daily routines and spiritual disciplines, well into her 80s and all too familiar with the status quo of widowhood. Anna, as a prophet, also understood her role as a mentor of the faith among her younger peers. It would have been quite expected and ordinary for Anna to have been drawn to this young couple and their wee little baby and the commotion that rituals would bring. Yet this experience was different than the others. This child was different. Anna's response to finding God in this child was that of praise and ecstatic joy for the life change that obviously she was encountering. In this child, she witnessed not only the fulfillment of God's promise for the redemption of Israel, Anna's mind and heart were awakened to the inclusive nature of God, whose dream for healing and wholeness is for everyone. With haste, she boldly told others of God's dream. Today, O ordinary women of God, don't be afraid. Rather, grow in your spiritual disciplines and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to lift your voice for the weak. Tell of this good news to all and instruct the young about God's dream for healing and wholeness for all God's children. You may be the extraordinary encounter of God someone longs for today. Where do we find God present in our ordinary rituals and faith practices? How do we, like Simeon and Anna, celebrate the presence of God and speak words of blessings to others so that all might hear of God's ever-widening circle of love? With great intentionality and expectant hope, may we invite the Holy Spirit to create in our ordinary worship and spiritual disciplines new and refreshing ways of finding God and sharing God's love with everyone. What changes in our thoughts and feelings and our behaviors need to occur in order to make room for the something new Christ dreams for us as the church, the body of Christ? We become the presence of Christ acting to meet the needs of the world in the present time. Christ's mission of consolation and redemption is our mission. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to rebuild, restore, and renew. Sometimes the very lives we've brought down, wounded, or held at arm's length. Christ is the woven threads, those cloths around us of unconditional love, forgiveness, reconciliation, and oneness. This is the true image of God, our maker and recreator, whose heart's desire is to recreate us with those threads. Where shall we find God present in the world today? Where shall the world find God present in you today? I met a woman named Judy Smith. I actually met her when I was in kindergarten, probably. She probably stole my cookies and I stole her sandwich. But it wasn't until she came to Coronado United Methodist Church right here that we really truly met and introduced ourselves to one another for the first time. We've had a running joke among us that I was Mary in the nativity scene and she must have been a shepherd or a donkey or a whatever. And we've had fun bantering that around, but over and above all things else, I found God in Judy Smith, and Judy found God in me. So I've asked her to come forward at this time and to share with you her life story, the change that has occurred in her.
I'm an ordinary person on an extraordinary path, but I wasn't always. My path was one of destruction. Happy New Year. I hope my brief story can help us all to focus on change as we plan our New Year's resolutions. You know the meaning of insanity is to repeat the same behaviors expecting different results. Well, that is exactly what I did for many, many years. Probably as many years as the Israelites wandered in the desert. I just couldn't see the promised land either. I did not have a good relationship with the Trinity because as a child, my interpretation was not good. God was this old man in a robe with a big white beard looking down on me and probably doing something like this. Being raised Catholic, I saw Jesus still hanging on the cross every Sunday. And hearing I was washed in the blood, well, it was a little scary. As for the Holy Ghost, he must have been a good ghost. So I was pretty sure he must look like Casper, the friendly ghost. So I would look around the church for a sighting. Several times a year, my mother would load me and five siblings in the station wagon to go to confession. For penance, I would get 10 Hail Marys, five Our Fathers, a couple of acts of contrition, and off I'd go. We barely got home before I called my brother a name, and therefore needed to turn right back around and go back to confession. So the feeling of being forgiven sure didn't last long. I struggled to fill this void in me. I knew something was missing. I felt like I failed Jesus. I failed my parents. I made so many poor choices, resulting in addictions of all kinds. Brokenness, unworthiness, fear of failure, even fear of success. Shame and guilt, broken relationships, toxic relationships, incarceration, homelessness, just always searching for something missing, something to fill that void. But hey, I was in control. I can fix this. Anybody relate to that? I think it would be safe to say that me in control was really not working. I never married, but I do have a 22-year-old son who is now in the Air Force. I'm a very proud mom. I raised him Catholic in Catholic school. He has forgiven me. It was good enough for me, right? However, his dad raised him in the Assembly of God. I guess there was a happy medium in there somewhere. But he could sure quote more scripture than I could, even at 12 years old. It was then he bought me a Bible, and he wrote John 3:16 in this cover. Okay, I lost my place. He told me to accept the gift of Jesus and turn my life around. He said, "Mom, just stay on the right path and don't turn your back on him." From the mouth of babes. Isn't that something? Unfortunately, I'm stubborn, a bit of a rebel, my ego a little too inflated. You know what ego stands for, edging God out. Let me fast forward to a little over a year ago when I still suffered from unworthiness, loneliness, shame, and the inability to forgive myself, most of all, for past transgressions. I was angry with God because my life was not where I thought it should be. I had a meltdown, we'll call it. And many people at this church, either in my Deborah circle or my Sunday school or my clients that I clean for, I do have a cleaning business. It's kind of a ministry now, but were made aware of my past poor choices. And I was just sure that I would be judged. And again, relationships would suffer. They would all be so disappointed in me. Well, quite the opposite happened here. My front door became a revolving door of people from this church, my family and friends stopping by my house just to hug me and tell me they love me. They said things like, "Who am I to judge you? Let me tell you about my past." I have never experienced such an outpouring of love in my entire life. Laura asked me, "What did I think God thought about me?" And I said, "Well, I'm sure he's disappointed." And I went on to list all my shortcomings. And Laura said, "I don't think we serve the same God." Something finally clicked. I began to have a change of heart. Maybe I wasn't so bad after all. I was able to see Jesus and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in everyone around me. I didn't get the audible voice or the burning bush. What I got was better. I got a better understanding of the Trinity, and I could talk to Jesus, who I realized had been dwelling in me, just longing for a real relationship. I got people who genuinely cared. 5 years ago, I never would have guessed my friends would all be over 80. And I would find such joy in serving the elderly, even cleaning toilets. Surrendering to change has given me a new life. I can't name all the people who have touched my life and my heart, but I know you know who you are. I will name Joan Clark. If you could just wave your hand, I want y'all to see what Jesus looks like to me. When I'm baking with Joan, we are definitely getting our Jesus on. We are the odd couple. Yep, she's Felix and I'm Oscar. She is so quiet and I'm so loud. I doubt she ever hung around with addicts or homeless people, but Jesus had other plans. We are inseparable these days. I joke that my life would be great if I just WWJD, what would Joan do? My life is so blessed by her caring heart. And then I have Sam and June Alderman. June, can you wave your hand? There she is. That's also what Jesus looks like. I help them several times a week. They have become my adopted parents. They have scolded me when I needed scolding, but they love me unconditionally all the time. The struggle of aging is not for sissies, and a sense of humor sure helps around the Alderman home. I see Jesus in the brokenness of losing the ability to perform everyday tasks. June shared with me that sharing my past struggles, like homelessness and addiction and incarceration, have helped her to not judge others, to embrace those afflicted in a way much more like Jesus would. They hold such a special place in my heart. I feel so blessed to have had the opportunity to serve Nita Moore. Jesus always shined in her sweet smile. I always knew that I was right where I'm supposed to be when I served Nita. I will miss her dearly. I no longer pray to an old man in a beard. I pray with Jesus who dwells in me. He is my friend and my counselor. My prayer today is that my sense of humor, my passion to serve, and the joy of the Lord in my heart shines on others and makes life just a little more fun. When you agree to change your way of thinking and are on God's path for your life, there is joy. The scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, is one of my favorites and continues to show up all the time. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I love this path I am on, and I love my church family. And yes, they love me too. Thank you.
Come, let us adore him and her and you. It's what this is all about. Change occurs, amen and amen. Don't think you're too old to make a difference in someone's life. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Let us stand and respond to God's love.